Well, like Alice said earlier, we're in the middle of a bunch of change today. We have got our B crew up here, and last night I went to bed feeling very confident with what I was going to be talking to you about, and I woke up this morning saying, no, that's not at all what I'm going to be talking about. So I believe the Lord has encouraged me to change my message entirely, which is really hard to do. If you think about it, getting up in the morning and starting all over again. But I think because of what's been going on this week in our country, it needs to be addressed. And I feel like we crossed a line this week in our country. And it's such a vital, important line that we need to stop and think about it. And think about what happened, the implications of what happened, and what can we do about it, type of thing. So I just wanted to stop. So next week we'll be hopefully back in Acts, starting in chapter 2. But this just seems so important to me that I wanted to stop and talk about it a little bit. I've just made a few scattered notes. Most of this is going to be off the cuff. But I was reminded every week I get a little picture on my phone from Lauren, Joe's wife. And it started with week one, week two, week three of her pregnancy. And she takes a picture of herself every week. And she sends it to all of us in our little family group text. And we just got picture of week 31 this week. And, you know, over time, her little baby bump started showing, and now she's kind of like holding her tummy up with her hand, and she's got this beautiful smile on her face every week as she progresses through her pregnancy. And I look at those pictures, and I know she's so excited about being a mom and bringing forth her first child. And I remember how excited Karen was when she finally got pregnant. And after the events of this week, I asked myself, what could cause a woman, after going through that process of pregnancy and feeling this baby growing inside her and feeling the baby kick and move and turn and twist, and knowing that there's this little life inside a woman, what could cause a woman to carry that baby even past the 31 weeks that Lauren's at now, all the way to the 39th week? And then, as the baby is about to be delivered, what could cause a woman to look at the doctor as the baby is about to be delivered and say, kill it. I'm through with it. Kill it. That's a dramatic thought and an extreme thought. But that is what was passed in New York this week. That very concept of a woman going that far with a pregnancy and then saying, kill that thing that's inside me. And you ask yourself, what could cause her to think that thought, to even consider that thought? And I don't know the answer. At first I thought maybe ignorance of the fact that what's inside her, but that can't be the case. I mean, the baby's kicking and turning, and they know there's a life inside them. But there is a Bible verse, you know, that might shed a little bit of light on it. And Jesus told us in Matthew, I believe it was 25. Let me see where I wrote it down here. When talking about the last days, Jesus said, among other things, one of the things he said was, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Jesus said that the natural instincts inside of men and women is going to grow cold. So perhaps this is a sign of the end times, that this women would consider something that in times past they wouldn't have considered at all. Perhaps that's one case. I don't know the answer, but I have another question. What would cause, even if the woman, we can't figure out why she would consider doing this, what would cause a, quote, civilized society to allow this to happen? How far have we gone that we would allow that scenario that I just described to you to happen, to take place? That's an even more important question. There's another verse, another section of Scripture that I think does respond to that a little bit. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 1. This was written almost 2,000 years ago, but it's actually, I believe, written for today. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. What's Paul saying? He's saying, just look around you. There is plenty of proof that God exists and he wants to be involved in your life. If you just won't turn a blind eye to it, it's there. But he goes on to say, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's what I see going on in our culture right now. I see foolish hearts being darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. I've never seen so much degrading of bodies as I've seen just in the last few years. You see competition for how many square inches of your body can be tattooed and pierced. That's degrading of the physical body. But more importantly, the degrading of the spiritual body. You see that more and more and more. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. We know the truth about God. What is the lie? The lie is, and it's being promoted in our educational system, on a daily basis, we were not created in God's image. We were a result of time plus chance. And we are nothing more than a product of some slime that creeped out of a pond somewhere a long, long time ago. That's the lie that has been exchanged for the truth about the fact that we are stamped with God's image on us. We are created in God's image. Goes on to say, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received themselves in themselves the due penalty for their error. That's, of course, talking about homosexuality. And it's very clear in Scripture, God is against homosexuality. we can certainly separate the sin from the sinner. We can be loving to people who have been trapped in that lifestyle and want to escape. But we should never compromise on what Scripture says about that. That's just another scripture I wanted to read to you that sheds some light on the answer to the question, why would a civilized society allow this barbaric procedure to take place? Well, this week in New York, I'm sure you're all aware of it. Alice mentioned it, Karen mentioned it also in her devotion. A new law was passed that basically says a number of things. I'll give you the highlights. Whereas before, abortion in New York was only allowed in the first two trimesters, now it's allowed up to and including delivery date. You can legally kill a baby in New York right now because the baby hasn't traveled that last, I don't know how many inches from being inside the woman's body to being outside the woman's body. Because the baby has not made that traveling, that traversed that distance, you can now legally kill that baby in New York. That is shameful. It was done with glee and with celebration and with applause and with the lighting of the new Freedom Center, I think they call it, the World Trade Center, with pink lights in celebration of this passage of this law. It's despicable. And I think the scriptures that I read give us hints why this is happening, because it says not only do they do it, but they approve of others who do these things. We're living in a very dangerous time. I do not see how God can continue to bless the United States of America if we can, as a country, promote death and applaud death and the destruction of the most innocent part of our society. It's really hard on me. Now, it was predicted. I've just read you some predictions of what's going to happen in the end days. We are coming on the end days. I know it has to happen, but I don't want it to happen on my watch. I don't want to stand by and silently watch it happen. I may not be able to stop it, but I can try. Why is it happening? I came up with five reasons why I think this has happened. And before I get to the five reasons, I just thought of something that I forgot to mention. If it wasn't bad enough in New York, in Virginia, a law was almost passed. It lacked one vote. Because of one person, this law didn't pass. It did and said everything that I just told you about New York, but it went one step further. And this is the line I think that we have crossed in our country. The Virginia law would have, had it not been for this one vote, would have allowed this baby to actually be born alive and then lying on the table would allow the doctor and the mother to have a discussion and say, should it die or should it live? And kill the baby. Now, that's not abortion. Abortion, as bad as it is, occurs when the baby is inside the mother's womb. This is the next step where the baby is now outside the womb, lying on the table, and could have been literally killed That's called infanticide. There's another word for it. It's murder. And but for the vote of one person, that would have passed in Virginia. Now, I believe there are seven states right now that are contemplating these types of laws at varying levels. I hope, I pray, that there will be a backlash by people, even people who consider themselves pro-choice, to say this has gone too far. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I believe in. I pray that that will be the case. But this is what we're facing. This is what we're up against. These are the dark days that we are in right now. Now, I remember the rallying cry of the NOW gang, the abortion rights people, years ago. You'll remember this when I say it. We want this is what they said. We want abortions to be legal, safe, and rare. Remember that? That was their words. That was their goal. Safe, legal, and rare. What have we just discovered this past week? Of those three, the only thing they've accomplished is legal. It's not rare. They've expanded it to any time, any place, any reason. That's not rare. And it's not safe. You know one of the other laws that was passed in New York along with this law? You don't even have to be a doctor to do an abortion. All you have to be is a healthcare practitioner. There's no such thing as a definition of a healthcare practitioner. That means anybody can perform abortion if legal. Now, if you mess it up, no big deal. The mother cannot sue you, cannot criminally charge you with anything. Does that sound like safe to you? It's bad. Another thing that passed, it was part of this same law. If someone attacks a woman who's pregnant and harms her, but in the process causes damage to her unborn baby, they can no longer be charged with that crime. That's a change in the criminal law. If you just stop and think for just a minute how devastating that could be and what that could lead to, it's mind-blowing. I just sitting here, I thought of a scenario just sitting here myself. Let's just say that a guy and a girl are together and she gets pregnant and she wants to have the baby, but he doesn't want to have the baby. Let's just say, and this is not too far from actually could happen, let's just say he gets some chloroform, and while she's laying in bed, he puts chloroform over her face so she passes out. She doesn't even know what's going on, and that he performs an abortion on her because he doesn't want the responsibility, the child support, whatever, for that baby. Let's just say that he does this. Now she wakes up, the baby's gone, the baby's dead, or whatever. Do you know that according to New York law, he has not committed a crime? Think about that. The only potential crime he could have possibly committed would have been an assault on the woman herself. Not for the abortion, but for knocking her out. Now, I don't know how much time you would get in a criminal court for putting chloroform on a woman if she did not otherwise sustain any injuries. And according to the law, she didn't sustain any injuries. So that's just one little scenario I thought of just sitting here this morning. We're like I say, we've crossed the line, and there's going to be a lot of bad things that are going to come out of this as we go through it. I got to move on here. What are the reasons? I came up with five reasons why this is happening. The first two are political, and I don't like to talk politics in here. But I have to. Number one, the left in our country has hijacked the Democratic Party. They are now in charge. The crazies are in charge. And you could argue with me if you want about that, but it's becoming more and more obvious to me. The left are the ones that are pushing this abortion thing, and they have taken control of the Democrat Party. Now, you say, I told Dave this morning, I said, you know, I think what we're seeing between the Democrat Party and the Republican Party today is in the Bible. If you go back to the Old Testament and you look at the difference between the 10 tribes in the north, which was called Israel, and the 2 tribes in the south, which were called Judah, you see the Democrat and the Republican Party. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean that the 10 tribes of the north were in a race between the 2 tribes in the south to head towards godlessness. There wasn't a single king in the northern kingdom that was any good. Every single one of them was terrible. There were a bunch in the southern kingdom, but there were also bad ones in the southern kingdom. So what we see in the Old Testament is we see the northern kingdom going through a degradation process much quicker than the southern kingdom, but the southern kingdom was also going down the same path. They just weren't going down with the same speed that the northern kingdom was. And that's why the northern kingdom was taken over by the Assyrians years and years before the southern kingdom were taken over by the Babylonians. But they were both heading down the same road. So when I say that the Democrat Party has been hijacked by the left, I'm not saying the Republican Party is pure as the wind-driven snow. They're being hijacked too. The only difference between the two is the Democratic Party is falling apart and disintegrating at a much faster pace than the Republicans. So I'm not a Republican first. I'm a Christian first. I'm a believer in God and living a holy lifestyle first. And I look at these two parties and I see them both disintegrating. It's just one's disintegrating at a faster pace. So that's the first reason this is happening. The left has hijacked the Democratic Party. Second reason, political. There is a hatred for our president on the left right now that is greater than any hatred for any president I've ever seen. It's just horrible. And this is not my opinion. This is statistical. 91-92% of all of the stories on the mass media over the last year written about President Trump were negative. 92%. Now, you cannot tell me that there is not an absolute hatred. I believe one of the reasons this law in New York passed is because of the hatred of Donald Trump. It was like the Democrat Party in New York said, here's what we think about you, President Trump. Here's what we think about the justices you have appointed to the Supreme Court, and here's what we're going to do about it. I think there's actually some hatred is part of the problem. Now, those are the two political things. Got those out of the way. I don't like I say, talking about politics here. Third reason, very big reason for what happened in New York. Profitability. Money making. A baby, a dead baby, has chemical, biological value to the cosmetics industry, to the science industry. Those new, fresh organs and tissues in the baby have economic value. And don't believe that they're not being sold for money to go to all sorts of different entities that would profit from it. It's happening. That's the third reason. Now, the fourth and fifth reasons are spiritual. The fourth reason is, like I mentioned earlier, I believe we're in the end days. Satan knows his time is near. And he's going to use every opportunity he can to destroy mankind and to desensitize us to the weaker members of our society. And it starts out with babies. It starts out with unborn babies. It's now gone to born babies, or it soon will go to born babies. It will go to, we've had assisted death to people in advanced age and painful situations. It's going to come in from both ends, and it's It's something that Satan stands up and applauds every time he sees it happen. Because, again, we are made in God's image and we are not to play God. But Satan wants us to play God by starting out by eliminating those who are inconvenient to us. Hitler did the same thing in the 30s and 40s. He took, I don't know if you know this, he took all the retarded people in Germany first, rounded them up and killed them. He took all the invalid people, rounded them up, killed them. And he took the Jews, rounded them up, killed them. He took the gypsies, rounded them up and killed them. He expanded with every move to a greater population of people. And Satan was applauding his every move. That's the fourth reason. The last reason. Perhaps the most significant reason why this law passed in New York, why it almost passed in Virginia, and that is the church is not doing their job. We are the church. It's really our fault. We are electing or allowing to be elected people who do not stand for what we believe. Oftentimes we will vote for someone just because they're of the party that our grandparents were a party of, and that person is diametrically opposed to our positions. And we are just not doing our job. The other thing we're not doing is we're not living a holy and righteous lifestyle that we need to live, and we're compromising our lifestyle. And as a result of that, our politicians, our leaders are compromising their lifestyles too. The big event, as big as this event was that happened this week, have you noticed there was one person who didn't say a word about it all week long? I still haven't heard a peep out of the Pope. Have you noticed that? Not a word. Now, if there's any institution that's considered pro-life, it should be the Catholic Church. This joker, who's called a pope, hasn't said a word about it. And if there was one thing that he should step out on politically and comment on, it would be abortion. Hasn't said a word. What does he say? He's saying we're immoral because we want to build a wall in Texas. What business is that of his? This is his business. Life is his business. He should be standing on the rooftop screaming with everything he's got. What are we doing, Catholic Church? What are we doing, America? What are we doing, world, to allow this? Not a peep from him. But it's not just him. It's us too. What can we do? I'll close with this. What can we do? You've heard the problem. You see the pathway we're on. You see where we're going. I do think there's some things we can do. I've come up with three things. They all come under the category of isolate and attack. We talked last week about the Holy Spirit being a warrior, physically in the Old Testament, spiritually in the New Testament. We need to be warriors. And when you fight a battle, you isolate your enemy and you attack your enemy. How can we isolate and attack? Well, first of all, we can call and write letters, and now with emails, it's really cheap and it's easy to do, to anybody who you can isolate as being part of the problem. Contact them. Let them know how you feel about it. It doesn't mean you have to be nasty. It doesn't mean you have to be mean, but share scripture. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them that this is wrong. Tell them this is against God's will. These types of things. There's a lot of things you can do to contact not just legislative representatives, but anybody who that you can see is influential in an area. Do it. Take the time. That's something that you can do. Number two. Speak out. Any opportunity that you have to encourage people to do the right thing, speak out. You know, one thing, this is just one little thing. I just thought about this morning. Bumper stickers. Don't you always, when you come up on a car, don't you always want to read what the bumper stickers are? I mean, if you put a bumper sticker on your car that gives a good message, it's going to literally be read by hundreds, if not thousands, of people before it finally crumbles up and withers off. I'll bet you if you went online, I haven't done it yet, I'll bet you if you went online, you could find some really good bumper stickers that communicate a good positive message about pro-life and abortion that you could slap on your car, and it would be read by hundreds of people without offending them. I even thought of my own bumper sticker this morning. I there may be one that says this, I doubt it, but I just thought of this. Years ago, there was a movie called Alien. Anybody ever see the movie Alien? Sigourney Weaver, Charlie thought, I don't, most of you haven't. Okay. It's a sci-fi movie. It's about a spaceship out in the middle of somewhere in the galaxy, and they pick up an alien by accident and the havoc that the alien causes. Well, when this movie came out, I remember the advertisement for the movie. This is 25, 30 years ago. And the advertisement, the slogan under the movie was, "In space, no one can hear you scream." It was a horror movie. "In space, no one hear you scream." I saw that little line, and I thought, I got to watch that movie. That sounds like a really good, scary movie. You know? Well, what about a bumper sticker that says, "In the womb, no one can hear you scream"? Think how thought-provoking that would be on a car. When somebody reads that, "In the womb, no one can hear you scream," they're going to think, I believe, they're going to think pain, secrecy. They're going to know it's has to do with abortion, obviously. But I think their mind would be directed towards the helplessness of an innocent little baby and the scream of that little baby. I might get some of those bumper stickers made. That's to me is the kind of bumper sticker where it doesn't offend people, but it makes them think. You know, in the Old Testament, the god, I think it was Baal, they would make a bronze statue with his hands held out like this, and they would build a fire inside of the statue so the thing would glow red hot. And then the Hebrew people would take their children and place them in the burning hot hands of Baal to be fried alive right in front of their eyes, thinking that by doing this, they would placate, satisfy God, their God, the God Baal, and therefore he'd take it easy on them. We look at that and we say that is barbaric. Not only is it barbaric, it's stupid. It's superstitious, and it has there's no advantage in doing that. But aren't we doing the same thing today in partial birth abortion? Do you know what they do in partial birth abortion? One of the things they do, they inject something like an acid inside the woman that literally burns the baby to death. And the baby screams and writhes and tries to get away from it and eventually succumbs to it. So are we really any different than the people of the Old Testament who took the baby out and then placed the baby on to be burned alive? That's what we're doing. Okay, give you two. Call or write me, email, speak out, bumper stickers, anything you can think of. And the last one is this: to purify ourselves. Like I mentioned, the church is really the one not doing their job. And I believe if we will get serious about it, God will respond to our efforts. I believe this. Let me read to you a passage you're familiar with, but I think it's certainly relevant right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. God speaking. If my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This isn't the world he's talking to. He said, if my people. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Guys, we need a healing. God's just told us how to do it. And it starts at home. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We don't have the authority to say somebody else is wrong if we're wrong in our own lives. Turn from our wicked ways. God says, if you'll do that, I'll listen to you. I'll hear you, and I'll heal your land. So, there you have it. You see the problem. You see where we're heading. You see the danger of where we're heading. And I think you see the solution. Question is, are you going to do anything about it? Are you going to take any steps to be on the right side of this issue? Because it is a devastating issue, and it's just going to get worse and worse. It's going to lead to worse and worse things. Just like when the gender issue started out, I'm not sure if I'm a man or a woman, it quickly, geometrically increased to something like 60 different definitions of what people are. That's crazy. Once you break out of the mold that God said, it will spread like gangrene. And this is going to spread like gangrene too. So my prayer is that you would be, your heart would be touched. You would make a decision on something that you can do and that you will be on the Lord's side on this and direct your energies towards that. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, our hearts are heavy for what we're seeing happening in our country. We do not want to be associated with that. We want to be associated with you. We pray that you would touch each of our lives, each of our hearts individually, and allow us to be a part of the solution, not of the problem. I know we're in end times. I know that your plan ultimately is for a one world religion and a world that's going to ultimately turn its back on you, but Lord, we pray that you would give us one more opportunity to fight for holiness and to take this next generation, keep this next generation in your will and in your guidance. So we have a big job. We just pray that you would bless us, you would lead, guide, and direct us in these areas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.